What's up, everyone? This is Logan, CigarFederation.com, January 1st. Heck, no shit, this ain't January 1st. January 19th, 2016, year of the mongoose. Actually, I don't know what year of the Chinese year it is. I know last year was the snake, right? Or was it the dragon?
Ooh, I think it was the dragon. I just went over there with somebody. That's why I'm sitting here trying to figure out now.
Well, it's because Dunhill does, you know, the shit. Or was it the monkey? And not that it fucking even matters, but yeah. It doesn't fucking matter. But so we're here, hanging out. We're out. We have no bull shark. The tripod has been cut. Can't stand. I'm here with motherfucking astrologist Moonbeam. He knows all what's happening.
Oh, another regular day. It is the year of the monkey.
So last year was year of the monkey, or this year it's the year of the monkey?
This year.
So I was right, sort of.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool. You know, Jared, when I usually say stuff, I usually just completely talk out of my ass. But I had a feeling it was a year of the monkey.
You got to get it right every now and then, don't you?
Blind squirrel, a broken clock's right twice a day, and every blind squirrel finds a nut. That's my dad's favorite quote. Huh?
Last year was the sheep.
Last year was the sheep. All right, I'm going to turn off my phone.
All quit worrying about that.
So we could quit caring. So we are here, Pipe Dummies. I think we're on episode, a hell of a lot farther than I ever thought we would get in the show. I think it's like 21. And Jared, tell everyone what we are smoking tonight. And get ready to cream your panties.
Oh, let me get mine in my pipe here. We are smoking some very graciously donated, at least donated to me, Esoterica. I'm going to say Penzance because that is apparently how the pronunciation shows it to be. But you might say Penzance.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, the Brits, man. Like aluminum versus aluminium. Truck versus lolly. Mind the gap. They say some weird shit over there. But we're smoking some. However the fuck you say it. I always feel like I always fuck up all these pipe tobaccos. And they're not nice enough like Nick Melillo is with the Winway Say. Or Winway, whatever the fuck it is, to actually give you like a pronunciation guide to it. So, Penzance, we got some...
Penzance works just
Penzance is good. So, I ran into... this has been a couple of months back. I was traveling for work and I walked into a B&M. I'm not going to tell you which one because I've got the shit on lockdown, but walked into a B&M somewhere in Massachusetts and, you know, it was there hanging out for a, you know, hanging out with a good friend, hanging out with Shooter. And, we're just chilling and, I normally don't buy when I'm at a shop, you know, I've got access to cigars and pipe tobacco and stuff, but, when I'm at a brick and mortar, you know, I'm going to be there and smoke and hang out. I'll buy a cigar or whatever, but I never buy pipe tobacco ever, ever, ever. Cause it's always so much more expensive. And, you know, I'm just kind of browsing through. I'm like, oh man, they got some, you know, some early morning pipe that's 2 or 3 years old. You know, they had a nice little selection. And then lo and behold, my dick got fucking hard because I got 4 bags. Well, this is a tin, so it wasn't this exactly, but it was 4 bags. It's inside. 4 bags of Penzance. And the fucked up thing is that Massachusetts has a very high tobacco tax. So I was expecting these bags to be like $80 at least. Like at least $80. Dude, $44.95. And guess what Logan did, Jared?
Bought out the store.
Bought out all 4 of them. Didn't even hesitate. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because... What?
Baller.
Yeah, you know. I just couldn't believe how fucking cheap it was. But smoking pipes recently, and it was... I got to tell a quick story about smoking pipes because, you know, they actually did me right. So anytime... And I'm a sucker, so any retailer listening to this, you can bait me pretty good. Anytime that I see a sales email or find out that a store has, you know, Balkan Sobrani, Penzance, or Stonehaven, pretty much no questions asked, I will buy whatever I am allowed to buy, because usually it's limited to one tin or one bag or whatever. So about, I don't know, a week and a half ago, Smoking Pipes had Sobrani, and, you know, Bull Shark let me know. So you can buy two tins every 24 hours. So I bought two tins. Well, then, motherfucking piece of shit, like, tells me, oh, by the way, they have Penzance, too. I'm like, thanks for fucking telling me, because now I'm going to have to pay double shipping charge. But I went back to buy my tin of Penzance. And, because, you know, I got to have another tin, even though I've got, you know, 24 ounces just chilling in bags in the house. You know, I must have it. And so, place the two different orders. When I get an email from the guy at customer service at Smoking Pipes, and they're like, hey, motherfucker, you ordered, and I can totally see how this happens, but their e-commerce software doesn't have the ability to, if you've ordered more than your one allotted Penzance, for it to just not let you order it or cancel your order automatically or whatever. So basically on Saturday, this guy was probably going through and canceling a bunch of orders for people ordering like 10 or trying to order two under different names or whatever. So he mistakenly thought that I had my first order for Sobrani was Penzance too, because he didn't really pay attention, I guess. But so he's like, hey, I'm canceling your order. And I emailed him back and I was like, hold the fucking phone, Sparky. I was like, it's Sobrani in the first two orders, which I'm allowed to, tins, which I bought, and one tin of Penzance. And I didn't know you guys had it because my fucking friend didn't tell me in time until I had already placed my order. And he's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. You know, you were actually following the rules and could tell me the policy. You know, there's people that fucking violate this shit all the time. And I was like, well, cool, man. I was like, I mean, I'll pay for it. I don't mind paying for it, but I just want my fucking tin of Penzance. I mean, that's just the it and the all of it. I want my fucking tin. And he goes, no, man, for you being so cool and like being honest and following the rules, got this motherfucker for free.
Well, shit.
And you know what I did with that fucking tin, everybody? I believe, you know, a good turn serves everyone, right? So what does Logan do? Logan could have hoarded that whole tin. Logan could have hoarded it.
Mm-hmm.
But what did Logan do?
Remember kind of this?
Logan gave that entire tin in a mason jar to Jared. I should be hearing applause right now.
Well, if I'd have loaded that thing up, I would do it for you.
Well... So, anywho, I know you should have. You should have done applause. But anyways, so back to Esoterica Penzance. We're smoking it tonight. Bull Shark was, Bull Shark was really upset that he couldn't be here because apparently he's come down with some sort of nasty funk. But just to tell you, if you don't already know, Penzance made by, it's blended by J.F. Germain and Sons under the Esoterica brand. It's actually classified as an Oriental on tobaccoreviews.com. It's considered a flake, but it's not really a flake. Like, when you get it, it's more of a broken flake, but, I mean, I'm not going to split hairs over this deal. It's Latakia, Oriental / Turkish and Virginias. So, Jared, smelling your... I haven't even packed the bowl yet because I've been so distracted telling stories. When you open that up, what do you smell? You open up that mason jar I so generously donated to you. Thank you, Jared. Thank you. Is there one that you could give me a virtual slap, a virtual pat on the shoulder? A virtual attaboy?
I haven't found that app just yet.
Well, you fucking need to.
All right, let's see if my nose is working. I always hate having to do this for you. That you get something different from me every time, I believe.
I know, and then I ridicule you for having a wrong answer.
Yeah. How can it be wrong when it's what I smell? But I got you.
You know, I got to do it, Jared.
Dang it. I'm trying to pick apart these aromas that I get out of it. Because I get there's some smoky, but it's not heavy smoke. It's just a little.
Yeah. It's not overbearing. Smoky.
There's almost some dark sweetness.
Okay.
I don't know what I would akin it to, but it's not spicy. It's kind of sweet. I almost smell a little molasses the more I keep going at this. And once I get the little that latte key, a little smokiness and some sweetness coming out of it. Can't at the moment pin down too much more for you, Mr. Picky.
You know what I think? It smells like oak. It's very oaky. And it's definitely not overpowering in terms of the latte key. I will say one thing I find very fucking strange about this is that, I mean, I go back to my shit-kicking days. I used to chew. And I don't know if anyone's dipped out there, but, you know, you'll get that bullshit from Skoll or Copenhagen on your fingers. And as I'm kind of, like, breaking down this crumble cake, this, well, I guess it's more of a broken flake, but as I'm breaking it down, I don't know if you can see my fingers, but, I mean, it's definitely leaving, like, a kind of a black mark on my finger. So I don't know if it's just overly damp or if, you know, wife's home. I don't know if it's overly damp. I don't know if it has some sort of casing to it, which I don't think it does, but it's just, I've never really seen that with a pipe tobacco before.
I don't think I left. I didn't get anything on my hands from making it.
I think it's a little damp too. Would you say it's a little damp? Like a little, no, I wouldn't say over humidified, it's not the right word, but like it's definitely holding some moisture content. So I'm curious to see how this shit's going to burn.
It's not dry.
It's definitely not dry.
But, oh, who was it? Somebody was having a little bit of trouble keeping theirs lit.
Who's smoking? Who's actually smoking it?
Jeff M. is smoking Penzance right now.
No, fuck. There we go. Look at this. We're actually making impact one pipe smoker at a time, Jared. How does that fucking feel, Moonbeam?
Oh, God. Yep. That's not going anywhere, is it?
No, dog. You fucked up by saying that.
You kind of forget what that was, and then you keep bringing it up.
No, I'll never, ever forget, Moonbeam. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's...
Nice seeing a following here, though.
You get what?
I said it is kind of nice seeing a following, and people actually, they're waiting to see if we make it here or not.
Yeah, well, I mean, it could go at any point in time, to be honest.
Oh, yeah.
We could be tits up at any point. You know what? I actually said that in a work meeting today. I'm like, yeah, you know, if the whole thing just goes tits up, we're just going to have to rethink our whole strategy. And I got a couple of chuckles. I actually felt pretty good about it. I actually felt pretty, pretty good about it. But anyways, yeah, it's a little oaky. It's definitely not... definitely not as like heavy on the latte key as others. You know, I wouldn't say that it's, you don't smell latte key, but it's definitely not like a kick in the fucking face. Yeah, I mean, it's not bad. I mean, I definitely smell like, and I don't know if this is the wetness, but almost like, I mean, we've been to Cigar Safari. You know how it kind of smells in the factories, like almost that wet kind of tobacco manure-y kind of that smell, Jared. I think it's got a little bit of that going on in it.
And see, and actually Shooter's smoking it as well, so we got a Penzance crowd going here.
Oh yeah, Shooter bought some off the deal too. I think he might have been the one that let me know about it. I don't remember if it was Shooter or Ben. I can't remember. One of the two did. See, but, look at that. So let's just say, guys, for everyone listening to this shit show, to see if we go tits up. Penzance obviously is not that hard to get a hold of. We've got four people simultaneously who have not smoking this shit, so it's not that hard to find. I will say, you know, this is kind of my first cycle of a year of it's a pipe smoker. I got into, you know, pipe smoking last year. And I will say, I've noticed is that nobody really has it. And then after IPCPR, it seems, and this would be my guess, I don't know if this is correct or not, but my guess is they produce it twice a year. And the first, but they release it after IPCPR, which is usually, you know, late July, early August. So you'll see in the fall, it'll come out, you know, people start, all different sites will have it, you know, starting in maybe late August, September, October, November. And then it kind of dulls off a little bit. And then I'm starting to see a couple sites like Smoking Pipes and others that are getting it back. So I'd say that they probably have two different shipments. I'd say they'd have a shipment right before IPCPR and then do their distribution and get it out to people right after IPCPR. And then my other guess would be that they make it right before tax time, and then they clear out what inventory they have right before the new year. And then people start releasing it right around, you know, January, February. I don't know if that holds true. If that's wrong, please correct me. But I'm going with that assessment. So, Moonbeam, I still haven't fucking packed my goddamn pipe yet. So why don't you tell me what you're getting off your Zance over there?
Well, first, that was my first relight of this pipe. As wet as it may seem, it actually
worked
quite well for a while there, and I usually tend to blame that on tending questions and trying to do a little talking instead of paying attention to my pipe, but it's burning quite well.
Okay.
I don't, skipping back, doesn't get the oak that you're talking about off the fresh note.
You do or don't?
I don't.
Your nose all fucked up.
I don't smell any wood. I smell sweetness and some smokiness. And that's all I don't know. I don't get the oak.
That's all you get. Oh, my boys. So,
I pay a little more attention to the smoke part, though, but it's not too strong at all, really. Pretty laid back.
What are you smoking out of there, Bubba?
Another MFCEO goodie.
God damn, son. Without me, you'd be tits up.
Well, I got my Suge, which I really like, but that right in the beginning there got made into a aromatic pipe on this bowl, so I got to get me another bowl for that one. So this has been my not aromatic pipe for the most part, and I just haven't gone and done any of that fancy spending like you and Ben doing some pipes.
Yeah, I mean, Ben's more crazy than me. Like, I don't just go out to, you know, oh, Moonshine Pipes is having a deal. I'm just going to go buy. Nah, I don't do that. When it comes to pipes, man, I'm more of a classic guy. Like, you know, like my 1968 Dunhill. That's just sexy, isn't it? I mean, that's just a fucking sexy pipe. And you know what? It's funny, though. But you know me, obviously. Like, I'm being such a snob about this Dunhill pipe. Really, other than my Dunhill pipe, and cigars, but am I snobby about anything else? Like, do I drive a nice car?
You don't care about your car, too much about your clothes?
No, don't give a shit about my clothes. I mean, my house is nice.
Yeah, but you're not too worried about meticulously maintaining your landscaping.
No, I mean, I have a guy who mows a yard, but I don't have, like, crazy mulch or, like, waterfalls and shit.
The house, it functions, you keep it clean, that's all you care.
Allie keeps it.
Car takes you where you want to go. That's all you're worried about.
That's true.
Shorts, Sperry's, and a t-shirt. You're done. Hey, yeah, no, other than your pipes and your, well, pipes, pipe tobacco, and cigars. You're kind of snobbish about those, but.
This is true. But other than that, man, I'm not really snobbish about stuff. But I don't know why it's with this shit.
Shaving, haircuts.
Obviously fucking not. Obviously. Like, I got a work meeting that's like very important on Thursday, and I'm really debating on whether shaving or cutting my hair.
Almost seems like it might not be a bad idea, but you know how your work goes.
I think it adds to kind of the, you know, the eccentricity of the whole package, right?
I think it adds to you making sure you stay a work from home dude.
Dude, I'm telling you, man. I had a conversation with a good friend the other day, and you know, they're talking about, you know, I can't believe you can work from home every day. And this was not Jared, by the way, for all those watching and listening. And I was just like, yeah. I was like, how the fuck do you go to the office every day? Like, you commute, like, fucking at least 30 minutes. So an hour of your day. And you don't, and during the week, who has free time during the week? You get up, you deal with the baby. No, nobody does. I mean, other than this show we're on right now, but I classify this as work. But, you know, you go to work and you're there till 5 or 6 or 4, whenever. You come home, maybe you work out, you hang out with your family, you put your kids to bed, you do dishes, you do chores around the house. Next thing you know, it's 7 or 8 or 9 o'clock at night, and maybe you have a cigar, maybe you have a drink, maybe you go do fucking blow, who fucking knows, whatever your thing is. Then you watch a little TV, maybe have sex with your wife or your significant other, and then you're in the sack, man. And there's not a lot of time. Huh?
Well, lay it all out there.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. And we were talking about, you know, how he's like, yeah, I just can't believe you can work from home. I'm just like, I don't see how you can go to work. Like, you waste 5 hours a week commuting, if not more. Who knows what you fucking spend on gas and car maintenance and clothes. And, like, you just go to the office and you do the same shit that I do at home. Mm-hmm. The only difference is that if you got to be at work by 8, which, I mean, he has a flexible job like me. But I was like, you have conference calls starting at 8 in the morning. You got to be kind of out the door by, like, 7. And I don't have to be – the only thing I got to do is I don't even have to be dressed. As long as I can somehow pull my computer close enough to me to turn it on and connect to the network and put a headset on so I can hear, I'm good. Plus, all the thing is like, oh, you go to lunch and – I mean, you go to lunch and you, like, go eat with your coworkers. I'm like, yeah, I just eat by myself. I take my dog out. We'll play fetch. Or I'll just work through my lunch, or I'll do some laundry during lunch, so I get a lot of shit done during, you know, the day. Like, I don't know. I just don't see how people do it.
I wouldn't mind being allowed to work from home. It doesn't happen. I don't see it happening, so.
One of these days, Moonbeam. One of these days, brother.
Yeah. The other thing is getting out of the house sometimes is like getting away from work.
Touché. I mean, if you have a stay-at-home wife, like, you do.
Stay-at-home wife, stay-at-home kid. I mean, I stay at home, and that's kind of be like, yeah, be kind of hard to get work done, I would think.
I will say that, hopefully Allie's not listening or watching, I doubt she is, but I will say is that she was homesick, or she wasn't, but Callaway was homesick today, and she took, God bless my wife, took, you know, the majority of the day watching Callaway so I could work, which was, you know, great. But the day is not the same with them there, even though I'm either be in my office or the garage or whatever, outside working, smoking a cigar, smoking a pipe, doing whatever. It's not the same as when they're not here. Even though they don't bother me, you know, they'll come out a couple of times and I'll, you know, be working or whatever. But we don't have to talk about this. We can talk about something else. Like, I'm just getting on a tangent here.
I was going to say, as soon as you're done, we'll get back to the Penzance here.
All right, we'll get back to it, Jared.
So, yeah, it's not too heavy. I'm getting, it's pretty light for me, and I'm getting that little, I'm kind of getting the wood that you're smelling on the tin. I get it as I smoke it.
On the retrohale, I get it.
And it's a little sweetness to it, nothing heavy. And I can mostly taste the latakias and a little bit of that oriental bite, but... You know, nothing heavy for me. It's all pretty mild, medium.
It's a little, I mean, it's definitely, I mean, it's like, I would say mild to medium in strength for me. You know, it's almost got, I don't know, I mean, it's kind of hard to, like, describe it. I wouldn't say fruity, because it's not like an aromatic, but it's got, like, some, like, figgy, you know, like... Like that kind of fruit, like, you know, figs or maybe like a raisiny type kind of taste to it. It's not bad, but it's just kind of like, I don't know, it's weird.
That's the deep sweetness pretty much that I'm referring to. When I say sweet, it's kind of like a deep fruit, dark fruit sweetness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, natural, nothing added, just a natural sweetness from the tobaccos. Maybe a little bit from that Virginia, but there sure isn't much in there. Running pretty good now. It's
shockingly enough, it is. I almost get like, I mean, I don't know if anybody's a big tea drinker like me, but almost, if you know anything about black teas or drink hot black teas or you're British, which if you smoke Penzance, you probably do, but it almost has like that kind of deep, bold flavor of like a dark Assam tea.
I can see a tea note. I don't know what a dark Assam tea is, but I can see a tea note to it.
Like, it's more of dark than, like, bright. And what I mean by that is it's, like, kind of more subdued and a little heavier. Like, it's kind of hard to describe. Yeah, you know, some tea. But, you know, thus far, I mean, I'm not wetting myself. Have you cummed your pants yet? What about you?
No. On the initial light, though, I was starting to get pretty happy about it. Not that I'm not now, but the initial light, the flavors I was getting off there were damn good.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty clean finishing. Like, it's not heavy, or at least, and I've just started smoking. But I will say that I'm very surprised. Like, when I lit this originally, I was kind of thinking, like, well, fuck, this is going to burn like goddamn Boone's Farm. And it's going to taste like shit, and I'm going to get tongue bite, and my pipe's going to be all soppy. I'm going to get the fucking gurgles. It's going to be no fucking good. But honestly, it is staying lit quite well, and actually burning quite well, too. I'm very surprised.
Yeah, I've had, what, 2, maybe 3 relights, but that's just trying to keep up with it. Nothing compared to when I've had some that seem like they were a lot drier than this is.
A little creamy, maybe.
Maybe a little... what's the word I want there? Little cream with a little bite to it. A little rough cream, maybe, something like that.
You think it's got a little bite to it?
A small bite from the Orientals, it seems.
You think so?
But nothing too big. Mostly if you say, I can see the creaminess, but it's not a smooth creaminess. At least not on my end. It's a little rougher.
Not bad.
No, I'm not going to kick it out of bed.
No. All right, we've talked enough about pipe tobacco. Let's talk about something else. Talk about fucking Moonbeam Jr.'s birthday.
Oh, well, that was actually pretty fun.
I will admit it was quite fun.
Which is pretty good coming from somebody who's just so tired of being on a farm they could care less to ever see one again in their lifetime.
This is true.
But it was fun. Rented. You can do, there's a live working dairy farm right outside of LaGrange by my mom's house. And it's the closest spot to my family, my wife's family, than our place. You know, we're like 4 hours away from everybody else, and LaGrange is, what, at most, I think 2 hours from anybody we know that went. So it was nice, central location. It's easy on us because you just pay your money, which is cheap. And they provide ice cream, drinks, plates, anything you need to eat with, all the activities. The only thing you have to bring is cake if you want it. So it's like, takes all the load off your shoulders for taking care of the 2-year-old's birthday party. When you get there, and there's lots of animals.
There was a shit ton of animals.
Which is great for a bunch of anywhere from 2 to 14-year-old kids. It's great. Even adults like playing with animals. You don't get to go and touch all the time. So first we got to go ride up on a little hayride a couple minutes back into the farm to where the Jersey cows are at and get a quick info lesson on the Jersey cattle. And get to milk one, which Logan was not wanting to partake in.
No.
So, everybody who got to milk a cow and squirt some fresh hot milk all over the place, which was great. Tina stepped in a nice big pile of fresh cow shit, which...
I do have to say about that, is that, listen, like... You're out on a farm, and you're walking around. You got to look down where you're going. You're going to step in a big pile of shit. And there was a big pile of shit right in front of this Jersey cow. And I'm going to tell you, everyone missed this shit pile. Everyone missed it. Even the fucking 2-year-old, Connor, missed the shit pile. But Tina, I mean, straight up, all up in that shit, for real. And it was everywhere. And it stunk like shit. And I laughed.
Oh, yeah. And it's not like she's never been around animals. She's been around plenty of horses and cattle. We've been on farms. Not a city girl, but she is clumsy, so that's all I can say about that. I wasn't too surprised.
All up in a big pile of shit. But keep going.
Then we got to go back, and then it was a walk around to feed a multitude of animals. Got to go see the obvious. They had some chickens and some guineas running around to look at. And we got to feed the rabbits, which those were some 20-pound rabbits in those cages.
There were some big-ass rabbits.
Feed the rabbits. There was a sheep and a goat. You get to feed and pet.
Pigs.
Yeah. Lovely smelling pigs. And then everybody liked to feed the ducks because I don't know if you ever fed any kind of fowl like that before, but they get a little wild about the broken coin in the hand and they go pretty crazy. You got to watch it. They'll take a finger with them. So that just feels funny. And everybody had fun with that. Let them get to, oh, they got to bottle feed some newborn calves.
Mm-hmm.
Very small calves. And what else we do? Oh, another pen full of all the goats. I think that's all we did. Oh, turkeys. That's right. It was a big Tom that everybody wanted to cook up for dinner, but he wasn't very friendly, so everybody had to step back from him. I think that's... So what did that take? Like about 3 hours out there feeding animals and wandering around?
No. I mean, I was on the road by 4.
Well, you were, but we were there a little before 1:30, and we didn't leave until 4:30, so... Kind of depends how long everybody hung around. 2.5, 3 hours, so that's not bad. And then they covered everything. Everybody was entertained the whole time. Logan made the hour and a half drive all by himself just to hang out with us for a little while.
I mean, I'm telling you, a fucking goddamn saint of the year. Giving you a Penzance, bringing you unsmoked, unreleased cigars for my personal collection just because I love you. And all I had required in return, bombed your son with the most epic presents ever that are arriving over the course of 2 days. And you're going to fucking hate me. What I got, I'm not telling you. And all I ask in return is to borrow your power washer.
Which I actually remembered to bring up there with me.
Which, well, Jared, here's the thing. If I say I'm going to do something and you don't remind me, there's a pretty good likelihood I'm probably going to forget. But I know with you is all I have to do is say it once and you say, I think I can do that. Done.
I even had to drive to the other side of town and pick it up from the other friend's house, so I was using it.
I'm telling you, that power washer is a hot fucking commodity, man. That shit gets all types of bullshit off my cool deck and my driveway. It's awesome.
I showed you the pictures of the concrete I cleaned up at my friend's house.
Dude, it
went from black to fresh brownish gray.
It's fucked up how much shit, like, how dirty the concrete actually gets. It's crazy.
And it's just mold and dirt, mostly. Little mildew, all that black stuff. Just
nasty.
Molds in there. Nasty, nasty.
Nasty.
Gone now.
That's true. But you do it. Like, when you were helping me with my cool deck, like, you could tell the spot that Jared did, and you could tell the rest that I did, because Jared's was, like, glistening white in the sun. It was, like, the apex of the fucking Great Pyramid at Giza back 3,000 years ago. I mean, it would have blinded your goddamn ass in the sun. And then mine was more like off-white.
Yeah, I'm a little...
Flat off-white.
Yeah.
But I got my... In the time that it took Jared to do his little square, I did the rest of the fucking cool deck, though. I just don't have the attention span that you do. Oh, it does. Actually, it still looks halfway decent, even a year later. The rest of it looks like shit. It needs to be done again. Well, the driveway's the worst, because the way the water runs off, all that black mulch bed just runs down the driveway and just leaves, like, you know, the black mulch nasty stain or whatever they put on it. This looks like fucking shit.
Yeah, it's not just the mulch. All driveways and sidewalks get, especially at least in our climate. Some people may not be as bad, but down here, the morning dews come down, and then the rains come down, and it just sits on those sidewalks and drains across the grass and just breeds all kinds of mildew in there.
Mm-hmm.
Thick, too. I mean, sometimes when I'm cleaning it off, it's not just like a a dust layer. It's almost like a layer of putty across it.
Nasty. You know what's fucked up? Is I bought a pack of 24 DeJeep lighters, you know, because I'm another thing I'm snobbish about. And tonight they're up in my office. Well, office number one. Actually, it's technically office number two. And I have them in there. And I was like upstairs after I put Callaway down. I was like, you know what? This black lighter is probably about out. I probably need to grab myself one. And I was like, nah, I'll be okay. I don't need to grab another lighter. Guess fucking what?
This foreshadowing?
It's a little bit of foreshadowing.
I'm guessing you just ran out of fuel.
I did.
And your Penzance is a little light on the fire side?
It's a little light on the fire side, and it's feeling a little neglected. Oh, there we go.
No, look at that. All you got to do is talk shit. That'll take a lot of fire on anybody's ass to talk shit about them. If they have any bit of get up and go in them, they'll get going.
Well, that was just the death rattle from the lighter. Because I've noticed with those, the Jeeps, they'll like, you know, light perfectly, and then they get down, they get a little squirrely, and the last one, I swear, they'll do like a big freaking flame like that, and then that was probably the last we'll see of that lighter.
So you better be sure to huff and puff on that. Not let it go out.
No, man, I gotta enjoy this fine Penzance tobacco that we got in our hand.
Well, you can still enjoy it. You just got to make sure not to get off on some long fairy tale Lawler story and neglect it.
A Lawler story? What the fuck's that mean?
Well,
are you saying I get off subject and long-winded?
I guess you could say that, but it's not like they're not appreciated. They're all great stories. The India sewer story is brought up routinely.
Oh, that's a fucking great story.
So, I mean, they're fine, but it does neglect your tobacco at hand. Although I think it probably ups the attention span of the listeners.
Are you saying that you want to hear the Indian sewer shit story?
I don't need to. I've heard it so many times. I'm laughing, thinking about it. It's a great story.
I don't think... Have I ever told it on Pipe Dummies?
I don't think we've really gotten too many stories on Pipe Dummies.
All right, well, then I'll fucking tell you a good story. And I'm just going to have to neglect my Penzance, so Jared, you're going to have to pick up where I left off. But so, for all of you that have never heard this story, and if you have, you can just go fuck yourself, because this is probably the most epic story of all time. So gather around, children, to hear the most epic story of all time. So the year was, I think it was 2012, I believe. Yes. So, won't say where I work, but I do work for a very large multinational company. And my team that I kind of manage, I own a service line. When I switched job, well, I've been with the company since I graduated college, but when I got a new role within the company, it required me to go out to India a lot because my services team out there was doing some delivery work and whatever. So I went out there, you know, August-ish of 2011, and I got to tell you the backstory to the pre-story. And basically when I was out there, I made a fatal mistake, and I was working like, I don't know, like 9 to 5 Indian time, which, depending on what time zone you're on, the only one that really fucking matters is Central Time anyways, because that's where I'm at. But depending on whether it's daylight savings time or not, India is either 10 and a half or 11 and a half hours ahead. So for all intents and purposes, just call it pretty much 12 hours ahead. And so what would happen is I'd work 9 to 5. You know, I'd get up at 6, go to work at 9, get home around, you know, 6, 6:30. And then I made the mistake of doing that when I first went over there, because then I didn't really think about it. And what would happen is I ended up working like 20-hour days, because then about the time I was getting home from work and back to the hotel or home from dinner or whatever, everyone in the U.S. was waking up starting their day. And then I would get sucked into calls and work and bullshit during then. So I'd end up working pretty much like, say, 9 in the morning until like midnight, if not more. So the second trip over there, and this was July-ish of 2012, I decided to get wise with my game. So I'm like, okay, if I'm going to go over there and work, I'm going to work evenings to, not overnight, but like late evenings, afternoons and evenings, so I can kind of more coincide with U.S. time. So it was dark, right? And Indian people are freaking weird because they eat at the absolute strangest fucking times. Like, when I get up out of bed, I'm getting really off in the weeds on this story because I got to add some extra little tidbits for the people that have heard it before. But people are fucking weird, like, over there because, like, when I wake up in the morning, first thing I want is breakfast. Like, within an hour, if I don't have breakfast, somebody's fucking going to die. And over there, like, they don't really eat breakfast. And when they eat more of kind of like, I guess, a quasi-lunch, and then they'll eat, like, nothing really, and then they eat super fucking late at night. So when I was over there, I was working, like, 3 o'clock India time to about midnight their time. So that was basically 3 in the morning U.S. to about noon time. So the office park we were in, or the office building that we had, we had to go. They didn't have a very good food court or nothing that I didn't think was going to give me, like, you know, the runs. So we went over to this food court, really nice, huge IT park. I mean, bunch of companies were in this IT park. Every big company you could ever think of was in this IT park. So they had a really nice food court. I mean, food was fucking phenomenal. But it was in the industrial part of town. So, I mean, the infrastructure wasn't the greatest. And I will say about India is I think it's a great fucking place. So people are fucking wonderful. It's always a trip. I always have funny, fucking hilarious stories when I go over there. But it is true. It is very kind of slumdog millionaire. I'm not going to fucking lie. I mean, yeah, there's not kids like necessarily begging on the corners with their eyeballs burned out. But, I mean, there is a lot of poverty. Like, and the infrastructure's shitty. It's not like walking down a street in America. So the food court was on one side of the street, and I had a driver because, let me just say, I don't know if you've ever been in Mexico and tried to drive around. India is, like, infinitely fucking worse because there's about 1,000 times more cars, bikes, cows, people, but they just do not give a fuck, and it's crazy. Like, if you want to trade for, like, Formula One, go over and fucking drive in India, and if you cannot get in a wreck for a year, you'd be the best driver ever. It's unbelievable. And I have to tell you another story about when my driver got into a wreck at a guy, like, fucking almost broke his neck. It was fucking great. So the food court's on the other opposite side of the street. So, you know, one night I walk out of the food court and I was walking across the street. You know, I kind of had a brain fucking fart. Thought I was in America, you know, cars would stop for me. And I get clipped by a motorcycle. And, I had jeans and a t-shirt on or whatever. And the motorcycle clips me and it literally, like, cuts my shirt and, like, cuts into my, and I'm a bigger dude, cuts into my belly a little bit, like, damn near disembowels me. Had that handlebar been over probably another quarter of an inch to an inch, it probably would have sliced right through me, and I'd probably been like Hannibal Lecter, like fucking my guts spilling out. And so it would have been fucking horrible. So Rajesh is he's one of my employees, but he's like my go-to guy out there. And he's like, you know, he's about 40. Like, it's been in the U.S. 1,000 times. His English is fucking perfect, except when he says, because he's kind of got British English. And whenever the first time I heard him say aluminum, he goes, aluminium. And I go, what the fuck? He goes, aluminium. I go, you mean aluminum? And he goes, no, aluminium. I go, holy fucking shit. That's how fucking British people say aluminum. Aluminium. It's fucking crazy. Well, anyways, so he's like, dude, like, you about got yourself fucking killed right there. And I'm like, yeah, I almost did. He's like, so he told the driver, who was fucking sweet dude, to park on the same side of the street as the food court so I wouldn't have to cross the street like a dumbass and get killed. So, you know, a couple of nights had passed, and we're going to dinner at like 10 o'clock. So it's dark. You know, you can't see shit outside. There's no street lamps. There's nothing. You can't see shit. Well, a couple days later, you know, we went to the food court, and we walk out, and the driver that was so packed wasn't able to park on the same side of the street as the cafeteria. So, you know, he had to park across the street. So we walk out and we see him, and Rajesh is like, let me call the driver over here. I was like, dude, there's no cars coming. Let me do it. So, I mean, I was like fucking white lightning running across that fucking street. Just like smoke coming off my ass. I was running so fast. So I made it across, no problem. Well, then traffic started coming. And the way I'd ran, the car was like on the opposite side, but down maybe like 30 yards or something. So I start trying to walk behind these cars like next to the road, and I damn near get hit again. And I'm just like, motherfucker. And I don't know where Rajesh is. Like, I can't see anybody. It's not like I have a cell phone to call him. So I'm like, shit, what am I going to do? And before I tell you this part, I got to preface. Like, it's not like walking down a street in middle America. There's no street lights. Like, there's no infrastructure. There's nothing. So there's a full moon that's out, so you can kind of see. So I look over and on the front towards the cars, and I'm like, see this kind of like glisten. I'm like, oh, fuck, that's a sidewalk. I'll just, you know, get on that sidewalk, walk down, and just fucking, boop, get over to Rajesh. So I walk over and doop-doop-doop, start hopping on the sidewalk. Instantly, my feet go out from under me. I go straight down underneath the water, and I'm going to get sick when I talk about this, so I apologize. But in India, in the industrial part of Madras, a.k.a. Chennai, out in the industrial part of town, since they have no infrastructure, the runoff from the sewer slash street slash fucking everything else runs into these kind of almost like a U, kind of a topless U, these concrete things that aren't covered. So, you know, the sunlight, the moonlight bouncing off, it looked like a sidewalk, actually a sewage and water runoff. So I kind of fell into that fucking thing. And, I'm getting sick fucking thinking about it.
Wow, that's loud.
I'm getting fucking sick thinking about it. It's horrible. I fall in. I go head under. And as soon as I did, I realized that I was in deep fucking shit. Pun intended. And I knew it was fucking God's about to go tits up. So I crawl out of this motherfucker. Covered in shit, basically. And I get down to Rajesh. And Rajesh is like, where have you been? And, you know, I didn't want to tell him I fell in the sewer. So I was like, I fell in that thing over there. He goes, you fell in the sewer? And I go, yeah, Rajesh, I fell in the sewer. And, you know, I was kind of expecting, like, him to console me or, like, you know, kind of laugh and be like, stupid American.
Yeah.
But his response was not that. His response was verbatim, you're going to fucking die. And I was like, what? I'm going to fucking die? He's like, there's fucking no telling what kind of goddamn diseases are in there. So Rajesh sprints off back into the food court to get like a rag or something to wipe the shit off my face. And Manny, my driver, doesn't speak a fucking lick of English other than no sir, yes sir, and very good sir. And so he's trying to help me. Like, I'm luckily, thank God, I had a change of shorts and a t-shirt with me. So I stripped down to my fucking skivvies on this street in Chennai. And of course, it's like a BPO park. So there's thousands of kids that are working, doing call center jobs or doing BPO shit and laughing at my ass, talking in Tamil, talking in all types Hindi and all types of shit, laughing at me. Well, the driver, you know, I get changed and like I was wearing blue jeans that turned black and then I was wearing kind of a gray shirt that was probably as black as this Guaycon shirt I have on right now. And Rajesh comes and the best part was the driver didn't want me to get in his car because he knew I smelled like shit. So I have my eyes closed the entire time. So I kind of peek my eye open and he's got newspapers laid down in the back of the car. So that way I don't like a fucking dog. So I don't get shit all over his fucking car. Well, Rajesh comes out and, hands me the, you know, the napkin or whatever. So I can literally wipe the shit out of my face. So I didn't want to really open my eyes. So I'm afraid shit was going to get my eyes and I was going to die of something. So I open up my eyes to wipe shit off my face. And what, lo and behold, what do I see in my hand? I see an American flag handkerchief. Let me just say, it was a pretty traumatizing event, but the irony was not lost on me. You know, this half-naked American standing in a street in Chennai, India, covered in shit, and his friend brings back none other than a fucking American flag handkerchief to wipe the shit off of his face. So I erupt into, like, just cackling laughter. Because it's just, it's fucking me, man. It's just, that shit would not happen to anybody else other than fucking me. So I start laughing, and the best part about this story is Rajesh, like, is not like when you, a lot of people have misconceptions about Indians, think they all, like, work in a call center, and they all are, like, you know, jip, 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 like, all this shit. They're not. Rajesh, like, understands American culture probably than a lot of Americans do. So, like, when I make jokes in training, and I'm like, no one will answer my question, I go, like, Bueller, Bueller, Rajesh fucking dies laughing. Nobody else gets it, but Rajesh gets it. And so I figured he would get kind of the irony. He did not. So he rips the handkerchief out of my fucking hand, and it like almost starts like praying to me and like apologizing. It's like, oh my God, I am so sorry to offend your country, your family, Obama, your flag. I am so sorry that I made you wipe shit on the American flag, which of course makes me laugh even more, right? Because of this whole situation. So, you know, I get in the car, I drive back to the hotel, and of course, and first of all, another fun fact is like, India is like the granite slash marble capital of the world. So like granite, everyone loves granite countertop. Shit's expensive in the US. In India, like that's what they use for the tile in their floor. It's fucking crazy. They just have the shit everywhere. So like, you know, the fucking hotel's got a white, you know, travertine marble fucking floor, pristine, right? So I'm literally in my Sperry's that were grayish, that are now blackish because of the shithole I fell in. I'm squishing across this floor, leaving like black squishy shit footprints all over this white fucking tile. Like I finally get back to my room, I strip down, I throw all my clothes away, and I literally take the hottest fucking shower I've ever taken in my life. Like I burn my fucking flesh off. Like it was brutal. So like I call Rajesh and he goes, Logan, listen, I've already got you a room booked at the Apollo Hospital, which is the best hospital in Chennai, and actually got you an Indian doctor that is from America that's coming back for a while to like help India raise their medical or whatever. He's like, I've got you the best fucking doctor in 600 miles on call because you're going to get sick as fuck and you're going to start throwing up. And the second you feel sick or start throwing up, you call me so we can fucking take you to the hospital and get you fucking taken care of because you're going to be sick as a fucking dog. And I'm like, motherfucker. So I'm like scared. Like, I'll admit it. I'm not a pussy. Like, I was scared. Like, I'm like, well, fuck. Like, what did I get? Like, did I get some kind of, like, sexually transmitted disease via water? Like, what the fuck happened here? So, like, I'm freaking out. So, I missed a conference call with my boss because, you know, I was swimming in a shithole in India. And so, I call her and I'm like, hey, Maribel, I'm really sorry. So, I obviously don't tell her the story in this much detail. But I tell her the story. And I, once again, was expecting some sympathy. She just erupts in fucking hysterical laughter and starts telling everyone in the office that I fell into a shithole in India and everyone's just fucking loving it. So I get off the phone. It's one of those things. It's kind of like I could probably kind of compare it to like a kid on Christmas or like on Christmas Eve when they don't want to fall asleep because then when they want to catch Santa. That was kind of like me. Like I didn't want to fall asleep because I knew that I was going to get sick. And then I knew that I was going to, in very short order, probably die. So I didn't really want to fall asleep. So I was watching some Indian cricket, which I love, by the way. And next thing I know, I fell asleep, and I hear, you've heard my alarm, Jared. It's fucking wicked.
Ooh, I can hear it rooms away.
Oh, yeah, that thing's wicked. Sonic Bomb. If you have trouble waking up to alarm, Amazon, it's called the Sonic Bomb. It's fucking amazing.
But guess who can still sleep through it?
Maybe 20% of the time.
Yeah.
Not all the time, but 20%. So I thought that was like maybe the what hell sounded like or something. And I wake up, right as rain. Got back to the U.S., had a blood panel, totally fine. So somehow, I fell into a shithole in India. And the fucked up thing is that I never really paid attention. But now, then I started paying attention of like what kind of goes into those little drainage ditches. I mean, I've literally seen people piss and shit, all the runoff from the road, motor oil, dead cows, all types of shit in there. Like probably dead people. I don't know. And the thing that I fell on that motherfucker.
And it lived. Wasn't even like a bet. So we didn't give you like $1 million to swim in an Indian shithole. You did it for free.
I did it on accident for free. And that's the first time I fell into an Indian shithole.
Yeah. And I wouldn't say there haven't been any long-lasting effects. But
Mental stability is down. Mental stability is down. Mental stability is down. But, yeah, I mean, no flesh-eating parasites, no nothing. No nothing to speak of. So, yeah, somehow I dodged a major... Major bullet
quite
there.
I'm surprised you weren't throwing up from the second you hit that, because your gag reflex, if you talk about something nasty, you start to throw up.
I know.
I don't know how you could be in that and not just lose it.
because it's one of those, it's kind of like when I, you know, I've had a lot of bad shit happen to me. Not like real bad shit, but crazy shit. Like we totaled the deer, we totaled our car going to Midland for Christmas, right? Like, it's like after that happened for about that 10 seconds, I told you, I was in complete fucking like just shock kind of. Like nothing happened. We were fine. Yeah, everybody's good. I was just like that. And that's what happened. All I could think about was like, okay, I don't really remember. I remember stepping up. And then after that, I don't really remember falling in. And I don't remember getting out. And then all I remember is getting back to Rajesh really quick. So I don't know if I was running or what I was doing, but I remember getting back to Rajesh really quick. And then I remember everything after that. So it's like I almost had like insanity. What do they call it? Like a dissociative episode where I like completely disassociated myself from my body.
Your adrenaline kicked up and you just went into a different mode.
It was fight or flight. And I was flying out of that shithole, my friend.
That was probably actually really funny to see a white boy fall in there, and you might have just shot back out like a cartoon and went tearing down the street, dripping and shit. That would have been actually pretty funny to see.
Well, you couldn't see it. The problem is because they have no lights, you know, right, or whatever.
And then you were black from what you fell in, so.
Oh, yeah. I mean, absolutely. Yeah, dude, it was it was not good times.
No. Yeah, and I can't believe you didn't get some kind of disease from that, because you know there's diseases in that water.
Oh, I'm sure. Absolutely. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm very surprised. So needless to say, when you're out in Chennai in the industrial district of Ambattur on the first main road, all I got to say is just watch fucking out. Shit's fucking for real out there. But yeah, I've got all types of good Indian stories. I've got, you know, one's about I bribed a government official in India one time. Hmm. I don't think you've heard that one. That's a good one.
It doesn't sound familiar.
It might be for another show. But I did bribe a government official in India. And not in a work-related capacity, obviously. And it's not quite what you think either. But I did. What else have I done? I've done a lot of shit over there. I've got a lot of good stories.
You got plenty of outlets now. It's not just Cigar Chat where you can get these things out anymore. And you get a whole brand new audience over here.
This is true. And it's funny because the people actually watching the video has gone up since I told my extended version of the Indian shit story. And Rob would have shut me down and been like, oh, we're not hearing that fucking Indian shit story. My name's fucking Rob. I'm a fucking douche canoe. That's what would have happened.
Not that I haven't heard douche canoe, but it's been so long, it just hit the perfect spot for me just then.
That's what I try to do, Jared. So tell me, since you actually were able to smoke your bowl of Penzance, why don't you tell me what you'd rate this thing?
I'm going to probably fall under Bull Shark there. This is a pretty high up on his scale.
So just so everyone that knows that's never watched Pipe Dummies before, we do have a loose rating system that we go off of. And just so everyone knows, I will go ahead and recant it out to you. It's on a 5-star system. 5 stars means, aka stock up. It means I purchased multiple ounces for smoking to age. Pretty much buying kind of just whenever you see it. 4 stars, I'll keep it in the rotation. You know, I'll purchase enough to keep it in my rotation, whether that be once a week, once a month, or whatever. 3 stars when it's on sale. I wouldn't pay full retail for it, but I'd purchase it if it was on sale and at a good price. 2 stars, only when it's free. I'd only smoke a bowl if it was free and I had nothing else to smoke on me. And 1 star, never again. Like, even if I was given it to free by a good friend, I still wouldn't smoke it. So Bull Shark wanted us to let everyone know he would rate this shit a 6.
Yeah. I'm not quite there. There's something about this that just does it for him. Clicks the right spot. But not to say there's nothing wrong with this tobacco. I would smoke it anytime. It's not, you know, there's nothing strong about it. There's nothing too mild about it. I wouldn't say it's medium. The road's a little higher than that, but pretty good. I want to say up there. It's probably worth between 3 and 4, so I'd keep it in the rotation. This is, I think I could give it a 4. I want to say 3.5 because I know that's not technically on the scale, but I don't know that I'd just keep it in stock to always have it to smoke. But if it was on sale, I definitely would. So I half-ass answered your question, I guess.
So you give it 3.5 or 4.5?
3.5.
You know what? I'm kind of in the same place that you are, my friend. Like, now granted, I haven't smoked the entire bowl, but I've smoked, obviously, bowls before. I've noticed with Penzance, and this is maybe just me, is like the first half of it is pretty good. I mean, probably a 4. Like, you know, you've got some wood, you've got some cream, you got the tea. I mean, it's not super strong, even though it is a tad damp, at least in my humble opinion, when it comes out of the tin or the jar. It actually burns freaking great. But the more and more I smoke into it, the flavors seem to kind of dissipate a little bit. And I don't know, but it just like, it won't freaking stay lit. Like, it almost, it's kind of like when you're smoking a cigar, and this is the only way I can really equate to it, is you are smoking a cigar, and it tunnels on you really freaking bad. And basically, there's a whole bunch of unlit tobacco, but there's one, like, almost like a straw, and that kind of gets consumed, and it's just, you can't get it lit. That's kind of what I feel like with this. It's like, and it gets kind of real harsh, and it just kind of tastes like shit, and it's just not right. It's kind of what I do, and it's happened several times. So I don't know if it's the pipe. I mean, I've used several different pipes, but it's just like the bottom half of it is not as good. So I don't know if it's just all that moisture seeps down to the bottom and fucks up the tobacco. I don't know, but it's just not super enjoyable. I mean, if I would have had a little bit more forethought and not been thinking about so many shitholes in India, I would have laid this shit out for probably 30 minutes before I smoked it. But I did not because I'm an idiot. But yeah, I'd probably give it probably the same, anywhere from between a 3 to a 4. I mean, and that's based on what I would smoke, right? Like, I'll smoke it. Like, it's definitely one of those things where it's like, if I had somebody come over and is a pipe smoker, then this would be the first thing I would grab because it's going to make me look like a badass, right? If we're just ripping bowls of Penzance, right? But it's one of those things that, yes, it seems like everyone likes and everyone thinks it's highly rated and it's kind of rare. It's kind of like a limited edition cigar, but you're doing that because you can get it, but it's not that you necessarily like it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't just go out giving out Singular 2012 or 2011s, which happens to be my most favorite fucking cigar of all time, by the way. Actually, it's 2012. Of 2012. It's my favorite fucking cigar ever made. And I guess there's others, but it's fucking phenomenal. And it's a limited edition, but I would never give that to someone. And I'm going to buy it because I know one day I'm going to be able to turn those bags around that I bought for $44.95 and sell them for $80. And I know that makes me a dick, but I don't give a fuck. It's called supply and demand. And yeah, it's called supply and demand. I don't fucking make the rules of the market, man. I just play by them. But yeah, I could definitely see myself smoking like a Sobrani or some Nightcap or hell, even an early morning pipe more than this.
Yeah, and I get the, I'm down to the bottom quarter, and the flavors are a lot different. It's lost some of the lighter flavors, the creaminess and the smoothness. It's a lot more, gotten harsher.
It's a lot harsher, for sure. And just out of curiosity, in the chat, is there anybody that watching the show that have posted their opinions?
Well, Shooter has rated this a 4.
Thank you, Shooter.
So he's about in line. We're maybe a little more likey, but that, or he's following our rating system a little better than I did. But I do that, so that's just me. I know Jeff was having the same issue keeping it lit, and he said he actually, I got to remember now, was it this time that he actually pulled it out? And yeah, no, it was Shat, no. Nope. too much stuff going on here. But I think it was Jeff. If somebody's wrong. If I'm wrong, somebody will correct me. But he pulled it out and for about 30 minutes before smoking it and was still having some issues with it. So, oh, no, 2 hours, I think he said. Yeah, there we go, Jeff. He left him out for 2 hours and still had some issues. So
yeah, I'm fucking done with this. So, I think moral of the story.
Oh, and Jeff gives it a 4.
You know, I think it's moral of the story is that, and this is just an educated guess, is that it is hard to get. I mean, you know, they do produce, I mean, I don't know if they produce in limited quantities or they just release it in limited quantities. I mean, I don't have that much pipe tobacco background to be able to say, like, you know, why this shit is so, like, crazy and why people go so nuts for it, you know? I mean, I can tell you why, like, Liga, or not Ligas, but, like, Unico shit people go crazy for, because I know that backstory, but, in that context, but, I mean, I have to say that, if this was a tobacco, and this is just an educated guess, is that if this, if Penzance was more readily available, like a nightcap or a early morning pipe, meaning it was always in stock, in bulk, in tins, you know, you could always get it, you know, places had it for, you know, a lot of times for super fucking cheap, I don't think people would nearly think this tobacco is nearly as good as everyone seems to think it is.
It's got the Cuban effect.
It does have the... Here you go, Jared. Yeah, it does definitely. I would 100% agree with you. It does have the Cuban effect. And anybody knows anything about me, the Cuban effect does nothing for me. Unless your name's Jessica Padron. Giggity!
It does a lot for you.
And it does. Well, that's another funny story. But most people probably watching the show, unless you're a cigar smoker, don't know who Jessica Padron is. But you should. Because good night. All right. So, with that, Moonbeam, give us your final words. 3.5, anything else?
Nope. 3.5. It's a solid smoke. I have no issues. It burned. Mine burned pretty well. It's just maybe a little overhyped because of the rarity of it, but a solid smoke.
I'd say the same. I mean, flavors were good in the first half, but the final almost became unsmokable. Where, I mean, I know this is probably sacrilegious, but I threw out probably the bottom 40% of the bowl because I just couldn't keep the damn thing lit.
Okay, mine wasn't that bad, but...
And if I'm going to... Not that even this shit's really that expensive, but, I mean, pipe tobacco should burn well. And it does not. It did not. So, you know, if you have another opinion, I'd love to hear your thoughts in the comment on the video on YouTube. If you also have anything, you can always email us, info@cigarfederation.com with any thoughts. And we're basically out. What are we doing next week, Jared?
That is a good question. I got to check on this because I had these all listed out in my calendar, all nice and neat. And then what happened?
Logan fucked it all up.
Shit hit the fan and all over the place.
Shit went tits up. All went to hell.
The shit went tits up. Google Plus screwed us over. People getting sick. People going on trips. Let's see. As long as the Cigar Federation calendar is correct, January 26th, we are doing Dan Tobacco Old Ironsides.
Ooh, that's a good one. That's a smoky little Latakia bomb.
I have not had it, so this will be my first one on that one.
I think that one will be pretty fun. It'll be pretty, pretty, pretty nice.
So I'm pretty sure I must have some behind me here.
Yeah, I think that's when I bought a bunch of big stuff, and I sent you and Ben stuff, so you guys should have it. I don't know about how much, but you should have it.
Enough for a bowl or two ought to do it.
At least. So with that, appreciate you guys checking out Pipe Dummies. This episode 20-something. Penzance, moral of the story, don't believe the hype, motherfuckers. We're out till next Tuesday. You can always check out Pipe Dummies on CigarFederation.com. Broadcast live, 9 o'clock Eastern on Tuesdays. And then lives on YouTube and fucking podcast for fucking ever, unfortunately. So with that, Moonbeam. We're fucking out.
Out.